Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
What I want to do is there's something in me that I've broken the fear of, and I want it to be the same for you. I want to unravel you from the fear of failure. Like failure, the man who succeeds is the man who failed, but he got up one more time. And somehow to be scared of failure is to never succeed again. And people have made failure an F word. And they mumble it, and they say it in quiet places, and you know, and yet the road to success is filled with the potholes of failure. You've got to fail to succeed. You have to fail to win. And I want you to get excited about potential failure. Because if you're failing, you're on the road to incredible success. Nobody succeeded without failing. I need to talk about it. I've got three words for you. Number one, get up. Number two, brush yourself down. And number three, try again. Okay, so it's three simple words, right? So I'll just say it again. Get up. Brush yourself down. Come on, you can do that. And try again. Try again, because you're born to succeed. But you got to fail before you succeed. But let me say, a lot of your failures aren't failures at all. And when a toddler falls over, is a toddler failing? No! Because toddlers are learning to walk. You can't learn without failing. But it's not failure. It's a learning curve. So firstly, obliterate 75% of your failure is not failure. Like, sorry for shouting at the early bird service, right? But in last year, I don't know, like, they had a huge football competition in Europe called Euro 16, right? And Iceland went to the final, and Iceland failed to win. They came second. Iceland came second. Out of all the European nations, Iceland came second. Here's my question, but did they lose? They didn't win, but did they lose? The answer's got to be no. They actually won because the nation only has about three people in it. Everybody's on the football team. So from a nation of 300,000 people, they beat nations of 60 million people. They shouldn't go home with their head buried between their knees. They should go home with their head held high. Because even though they didn't get to number one, they were thoroughly successful. You ought to wipe out another 15% of your failures. They weren't failures. They were personal bests. You did your very best. You're on your way to greatness. Stop fearing failure. You want to love to fail. You want to love because you got to fail to win. Failure's not an F word. Now, 2.5 years ago, and we're about to do it again, we sent like 6 or 7 people to Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia. Now, no one in England knows where that is. And so we sent like these 6 or 7 people, I don't know, like 7,000 miles to Southeast Asia, parachuted them in to start Hope City, Kuala Lumpur. Now, it's going pretty well, right? But let me say this. The reason why they went is because they don't care if they fail. They just don't care, because if they do fail, they're going to come back as absolute champions. Because every failure is a sign of a magnificent attempt to do something great with their lives. And so to pack up and head 7,000 miles to a nation that none of them had lived in before, and to fail, they're going to come back as heroes. Because my question is, if they failed, did they really fail? I would say no. They succeeded because they did it with a spirit of success. And even though the results aren't on the board, they still succeeded because they stepped out of the boat. And the one who steps out of the boat is better, much better than the other 11 who stayed in the boat. Come on, you need to be a bit noisier than that this morning. You want the spirit of Peter in you. You want the spirit of Christopher Columbus in you. You want the spirit of Edmund Hillary in you. You want the spirit of David Livingston in you. You want the spirit of Hudson Taylor in you. You want to get out of your boat. Stop trying to guarantee success. Nobody succeeds without failing first. Our first church plant was in a town called Hull on the east coast of England. We like to call it hell. And so we sent some people over there, and an Australian couple came over. And after a year and a half, they said, "We're going back to Australia. We're giving up." So we had to sort of pack up hell. And whoever we gathered, we gave to a local church. And we thought we failed in hell. And then we gave it a rest, right? We got up, brushed ourselves off. And then we started again, this time in Manchester. Hope City Church Manchester has changed names because we released it because Apostolic has become the largest church in all of Manchester. The largest church in all of Manchester. But you've got to have a hell before you have a Manchester. You've got to have Hope City Hull before you have Hope City Manchester. There's no such thing as going from zero to Manchester in one single stride. Like, nobody's heard of Hillsong Milan. No one's heard of it. But their first deliberate church plant in church planting across the world was in Milan. Nobody's heard of it because it doesn't exist. Because it's one giant fail. But no one says that about New York. Like, everyone goes on and on and on about New York, Hillsong New York. But you can't have a New York without a Milan. So if you're in Milan right now, you're on your way to New York. If you're in hell right now, you're on your way to Manchester. Come on, you are on your way, get ready to clap, to success. You're on your way to success. You are on your way. You get knocked down, but you get up again. Fall 7 times. Get up 8. Ancient Chinese proverb. I don't know if you know much about Thomas Edison, but Thomas Edison was one of the great inventors of the 19th century. And he invented everything from a battery for an electric car, the record player. He invented the movie camera. He invented a power station. He invented the light bulb. And, you know, he had this kind of like factory, this laboratory that was called Melno Park, and it was in New Jersey just outside of Manhattan. And it was like two block fulls, and some of the buildings were high-rise buildings, and they used to do all their inventions there. But they reckon out of some of the windows of the building, you'd see parts of things fly out of the windows and land in a heap outside some of the blocks in Melno Park. And they say that in one of the invention laboratories, that outside the window was a pile two stories high of things that didn't work. That's the proof there's an inventor nearby, because there's a pile of junk outside the window of the invention factory. And if there's a spirit of the entrepreneur in you, there ought to be a two-story high pile of junk outside your life right now. You are too successful, which means you don't attempt enough things. in the Spirit of God. Every shipwreck is the sign that an adventurer has been around. The only thing is, if you see the adventurer and you see the captain still crying beside the shipwreck, something's wrong. But the shipwreck is the sign that someone went on an adventure. Stop crying over your shipwrecks. Stop crying over your spilt milk. You were an adventurer. You are still an adventurer. Get back, get a new ship, and get on your way. You can do this. Pile of broken relationships is proof that a lover has been nearby. Relationships that were born to succeed that somehow failed around about you. You can cry over it, or it's proof that you went out to actually love people. And even though they've turned their back on you, you are still a lover of people. You ought to get a whole group of new people around you and love them again and again and again. It doesn't matter if it fails. You are a lover of people on your way to successfully lifting people from the valleys of doubt to the highlands of faith. And if you see scattered seed everywhere, it's proof of farmers nearby. Most churches are too successful. Most people are legends in their own lounge room. It's because they've controlled their environment that everything they do succeeds. Because everything they do is so small. Everything they do is so monitored. Everything they do is so safe. They succeed in everything they do, and it's not right, and it's not godly, and it produces very little success. You ought to step out of your boat. Jesus prophesied failure on the way to success. When he talked about faith, and you know, when he defined faith, he said, "Speak to the mountain, be lifted up, thrown into the sea." He said, if you believe it in your heart, but don't doubt, it'll happen. So the definition of faith is that faith actually works. But whenever Jesus Christ described the faith life, he used a parable. And in his parables, he talked about farmers going on journeys. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like farmers. I like city dwellers. I want instant. I'm a microwave personality. I want it now. I want a yesterday, but he talks about farmers. That's why I wish the Bible was written today, but it'd probably still have farmers in it going on journeys. And when Jesus described the Christian faith, he described it as like a farmer going on a journey. This is what Jesus describes your life like in Mark chapter 4, verses 3 to 9. It says, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some seeds fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell amongst thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they didn't bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew up, and produced a crop. Some, this is your future, some 30 times, some 60 times, and some 100 times. Some seed falls on hard soil. Some seed falls on shallow soil. Some seed falls on overcrowded soil. But the majority of the seed of your life will fall on good soil to produce a harvest 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. Greg's excited. You know, it's not 100% of seed succeeds. Some of your seed will fall on shallow soil. It will fall on hard soil and overcrowded soil. Jesus prophesied failure along the way to success. You know, some people, and let me just take a little detour here, right? Sometimes you think that some people have the Midas touch, like the Richard Bransons of the world, that everything they do turns to gold. Everything they touch turns to gold. It's a lie. It's just that when the tree of success comes, it covers up the potholes of failure. But they are still underneath the leaves of success. Nobody goes from success to success, from summer to summer to summer to summer. Nobody has done, nobody ever will do, because the fabrication, it's a myth to keep you in Povertyville. It's a myth to keep you in Smallville. It's a myth to make you think some people have the Midas touch, but you don't have the Midas touch. May I declare, nobody has the Midas touch. Everybody's like a farmer where some seed falls erroneously, but a majority of the seed falls correctly. And so let me pull out some truths from what Jesus is saying here about the journey of success and about failure. Failure depends, firstly, on where you draw the end date. For example, while the farmer's dropping seed around the place, it would look like, if you drew the cutoff line, it would look like he's failed. When he drops seed on shallow soil, it would look like he's failed. When he drops seed on overcrowded soil, it would look like he's failed. The problem with us is we're assessing our lives too early, because if you take that marker off and jump into good soil, the farmer is an incredible success story. If we take the life of Jesus Christ, it would seem like a week before the cross that he was an abject failure, because very few people followed him. It would seem like at the cross, only his biggest fan was his mum, and you'd expect your mum to be there, because that's what mums do. They love their children. But very few other people were actually, every disciple of his had deserted himself. So it looked like at the cross, Jesus Christ was a failure. It would look like 39 days, it would look 49 days after the resurrection, only 500 people bore witness that Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the life. That's 500 people from the Son of God ministering in power for 3 years. That is not successful. For God in the flesh, that is not successful. But if you take the life of Jesus 51 days after the resurrection, now we're talking. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved in one single encounter. In the following week, another 3,000 got saved. The church boomed in the first century. And if you aggregate all of the people that have been saved from then to now, we're talking billions of people saved from the clutches of hell to populate heaven. Jesus Christ today is the most successful man who's ever walked the streets of planet Earth. It's just your problem is you think, well, gosh, I'm turning 30. What have I done with my life? What did Jesus do before he was 30? Nothing. Jesus did everything he did in 10% of his lifespan. That's your problem. You're too busy doing markers thinking, I failed. God, look at me, I'm single, I'm 26. May I suggest you're doing it all the time, putting false markers. Satan's saying, put this marker down. I'll show you how much you failed. No. Take the marker up. You're on your way to success. You are on your way. Look at me. You are on your way. You are on your way. You are a giant success story. You're on your way to success. Pick up the marker. Because if you get up one more time, you get knocked down. You are on your way to the greatest story ever told about your life. You know, when I was 27 years of age, I felt like I was like a healing evangelist. Like I felt like I had the power. And I'm slightly like, I'm quite autistic. And when I get hold of something, I become obsessed about that something. So I just thought I'm the man of faith and power for not just the hour, like a generation. So I thought, I got to find me some sick people. So I thought the best place to find sick people was either a hospital or a doctor's surgery. So I was driving through a place called Sunnybank in Brisbane, and I saw a doctor's surgery, and I thought, this must be it. I kind of felt the Holy Spirit say, Dave, you're going to launch this. That's a good place to launch it. So I actually parked up my car, got out of the car, started praying tongues, thought this will be the launch of Dave Graham, Billy Graham, Worldwide Healing Ministries Incorporated.com. And when I went through and I pushed the door open of the doctor's surgery, there's no one in there except for one man. So I thought to myself, it's got to be it. There's only one guy in there. So I went up to the guy and I said, listen, this is going to sound a bit weird to you. I'm a Christian. I believe in the healing power of God. And I want to pray for you. I want to see you get healed. I said, what's wrong with you? He said nothing. He said, I'm just waiting for my wife. Well, that damaged my healing ministry. And you know, I could have thought, Dave, you're an abject failure, and I could have sat down and cried the rest of my life. But I didn't. Within like 4 years after that, we'd moved 10,000 miles from Brisbane, Australia to Sheffield, England for the beginning of the greatest ride, the beginning of a great success story that's now taken 26 years. But you know, you've got to have a sunny bank before you have a Sheffield. It's just what I didn't do, which is different between me and your history, is you drew the line there. You said, that's it. I'm gone. What you need to do, I've got three words for you. Number one, get up. Number two, brush yourself down. And number three, try again. You're a success story in the making. Secondly, failure needs rewarding, because the farmer went out in faith even though he lost some of the seed that he was given. In Hebrews 11 verse 9 it says, without faith it's impossible to please God, because he who comes to him must believe that he exists and he's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. Some of you have the seeker's attitude this morning. Think, I'm seeking God even though I failed. He is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. He'll reward you. Success belongs to God, but steps belong to man. It's the steps of a good man. It's not the river dance of a good man. I'll say it one more time for the note takers. Steps belong to man, because you've never done the miraculous in your life. Success belongs to God. Let God be God and you be you, because he's a rewarder of those who step out in faith. Now, I'm going to tell you my greatest failure of all time in ministry, and it's called, a thing called Mega Babe. And we decided in an inner city estate in Sheffield, right, where poverty was just so strong, and we thought we're going to set up a clothing exchange, and we're going to call it Mega Babe, where women would come in and give us their clothes, and we'd sell their clothes to other people. We'd give them part of the profit, and we'd build a relationship with everybody in the community. And a couple of things went wrong, right? Firstly, a huge department store opened opposite Mega Babe that was selling clothing cheaper for brand new than our secondhand clothes were being sold for. We should have realized that building project could be a clothing store. Secondly, we had a lot of Christian girls work there that were kind of like innocent Christian girls. And just about the only person that used to come down every day was a transvestite. And the transvestite used to come in and just try on women's clothes like for an hour or two every day. Now, in today's culture, you just think, well, let's just go with it, right? This was not today's culture, okay? So all of the girls resigned. It was too complicated for them. It was too, you know, when something's out there, sorry to offend you, Greg. Or as we used to call him, Georgina. But you, but you, But you know when something's out there, when something's beyond your previous experience, you get scared. And so these Christian girls, without condemning them, they were just scared of something that never really been a part of, and it's never been a part of their history. So they all resigned. So I had a shop called Mega Babe that had nobody working in it, had a transvestite that was now unable to try stuff on, and a department store selling cheaper clothes. We had to shut the whole thing down. And lastly, right, that people driving past thought either it was a store for babies or for very large women. And so very few people stopped, right? Now, this is what I'm getting to. Greg, come on back in, right? This is what I'm getting to, right? When I get to heaven, right, that's my greatest failure in ministry of all time. When I get to heaven, right, I'm ready for it. I'm ready to pretend to be humble. Because I'll be rewarded for every act of faith that I stepped out in. And I stepped out in good faith with regards to Mega Babe. And you know, on the big DVD screen in heaven, there'll be nothing on it up to 20 years of age. Completely obliterated by the blood of Jesus Christ. Every sin, not only forgiven, but every sin cancelled from my life. Never to be risen again. Never to be remembered again. It's gone forever and a day. Not one sin of mine will ever be remembered. And so it'll be a little bit blotchy, this DVD screen, right? But eventually, I'll see the Mega Babe sign. I'll say, Goddeth, what art thou doing? The Mega Babe sign, Lordeth. I practice, you see. And he'll go, Dave, this Mega Babe. He'll say, Michael, Archangel Michael, get ready with the crown. I'll say, why is Lord about to rewardeth meeth for such a failure? He'll say this. I know what he's going to say. He's going to say, firstly, Dave, when you had that idea in that boardroom, we laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. You gave us 2.5 years of laughter in heaven. Thank you so much. There are a lot of problems on earth, but when we looked at you, we were refreshed. They talked about it, had a good laugh, just built a little campfire in heaven, had another laugh about Mega Babe. And I'll say, that's fine, Lord, if you want me to be part of, used for your humor. He says, secondly, it was the sign of a great attempt. And even though you failed on that attempt, you've succeeded with Jen on the attempt to reach people that have been trafficked from the four corners of the earth to provide a facility that so far has rescued and aided 3,500 survivors of human trafficking. So even though, Dave, it kind of looks like a failure, in my eyes, you didn't fail. You were on your way to great success. Michael, put a crown on Gilpin. Oh, Lordeth, thank you. So I'll pull this up in a second. I'll get Chrissy up, right? Thirdly, is that failure kills the devil of perfection. That some of you are dying through perfectionism. You want everything perfect. It's leading to a controlling spirit in you. And you think that everything you do ought to be perfect and perfectly successful. Let me just say this about the Insta generation, right? That every photo I put up on Insta is one of 50 photos I've taken. I've taken 50 photos of the same subject, and I put up the only photo that I think is worthy of Insta because it says success. I've told our guys, when you're taking photographs of a church, don't ever photograph an empty seat. Spread the picture out, push the empty seat to the side where no one can see it on Instagram, and make yourself look like one big success story. But you know, it's a pretend world, Insta, because nobody looks like the people that look like brilliant on Insta. Every woman who gets a new hairstyle, hey, have a look at this. Yeah, but what about the next day after you've washed it yourself? See, it's Jesus was the greatest leader of all time. He only had 12 disciples and he lost one of them. His success rate in leadership was not 100%. He's the greatest leader the world has ever seen. And yet he lost even after hundreds of hours of intercession. He could not rehabilitate Judas. If he had a report card, it would be 92%. Well done. You get a distinction. Not a high distinction, but a distinction. And some of you have prayed and interceded and have fasted for things that have failed. Welcome to the community called the Kingdom of God. You couldn't get a better prayer than Jesus. And yet, no matter how many hours he put into praying for the redemption of Judas, it just did not work. Judas sealed his own fate when he invited Satan into his heart. And some of you think that heaven's perfect, but you're not. Heaven's perfectly imperfect. Even the body of Jesus Christ still bears the scars of dying for mankind. He had the choice of a totally healed body with no scars, but he chose to keep the scars. May I suggest that you bear your scars because scars are proof you've been in a fight. And you being here today proves that fight was worth it. That you have fought devils, that you fought people, but you survived. To succeed without scars is to succeed in a very, very small world. I've got to pull this in, and just without my notes, just to say my last point is that God actually uses your failures to actually succeed. When I was at university, like I took 5 years to do a civil engineering degree that was actually a 4-year degree. Because I was naughty. They used to call me the photocopy kid because I was always photocopying everybody else's lecture notes. Because for 3 years, I never got up before 12 midday. Because I was tired. And so I was unable to get one of the mega engineering jobs in Sydney because I went to Sydney University. And so I had to get like what you kind of call a clearing job. And it was on a management program for a concrete making company. And so they said, yeah, you got the job. I wasn't super thrilled about it because it wasn't a proper engineering job. It's like a job for people that have failed. But you know, that job took me from Sydney, Australia, and took me up the East Coast, and took me 1,000 miles north to Brisbane. It's a city that I'd known before, but a city that I had no intention of going back to. But you know, it's in Brisbane that I met Jen. It was in Brisbane I became a youth pastor and got the burden for the United Kingdom. It was in Brisbane when I started to understand the anointing of God. It's in Brisbane that the apostolic spirit came upon me. How did I get to Brisbane? Through failure. So God's not so small to be cornered by your failures. God actually uses your failures as a springboard for success. Have I preached well or just brilliantly? In the 1920s in America, in the Rose Bowl college final, there's a guy called Roy Riggles. Roy Riggles. And this was a big day because the whole of the nation was watching on to see who's going to win. And he's playing for his college team. Roy Riggles got the ball. And he ran with it as fast as he could, put everything into it. And he's wondering, because he was listening to the crowds at the same time, he's wondering why everyone started clapping, then stopped clapping. The whole place went silent. You could hear a pin drop in the Rose Bowl. He wondered why, and then he got tackled by one of his own men because Roy was running the wrong way. And the whistle went, and it's halftime, and He just started to cry his eyes out. And Coach Price said to the whole team, he said, same team second half as first half. And Roy said, I'm not going out there. I'm not going out there. I've just failed in front of family, in front of friends, in front of my university, and in front of the nation. I'm just a complete abject failure. And this is what Coach Price said to change the whole thing around. He said, yeah, but Roy, he said the game's only half over. Whatever those few words did, it caused Roy's chest to rise. Stood up, fastened his boots on again. The papers the next day said that he played the second half like a man possessed by a demon. He chased everything that moved. He caught everything that was in the air. That he played the best second half that they'd ever seen a college player ever play. Let the spirit of Roy Riggles be upon the lot of you. I said when I started, I'm going to say when I finish. I've got three words for you. Get up. Stop crying. Stop doing post-mortems of things that are now dead. Brush yourself off. Have a break. Have a Kit Kat. Just have some chocolate. Have a gallon full of chocolate. Just put a marker in your life. Have a short break to Montreal. Maybe not. Put a marker in your life that all of that is gone. Forget the past. Forget the former things, says the Lord. Why? Because behold, He's doing a brand new thing. Can't you perceive it? Yeah, now you're in, aren't you? It took you a little while. Get up. Brush yourself off. Brush the dust of failure off. Some seed falls on shallow soil. Can do nothing about it. Some arms are shipwrecked. Can do nothing about it. Brush yourself off. Build another ship. Create new relationships. Start the spirit of adventure. Let the heart of Mother Teresa be all over you. Find a patch of land. Minister it. Let the spirit of Columbus take over your spirit. The best is yet to come, but I've got to say the best is right now in the decision you're making to leave your failure at the foot of the cross to someone who understands what it is to fail to succeed, to fail to win. Come on, let's stand up right now. Lift your hands to heaven. If this sermon's meant anything to you, give God a clap offering of praise. Yeah, come on, give Him a real clap offering of praise. Praise Him from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Give Him some praise. It's not over. It's not over until a fat angel sings. It's not over. It's not over. It's not over. The greatest half is just about to begin. The greatest season of your life is about to begin. It's not finished. It's not finished. It's not finished. God's doing a good work. He's doing a perfect work. It's not finished. The best is yet to come. Come on, C3 Toronto. Come on. Forget what's behind. Press on. 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 Press on.